So good to see you tonight. My name is Matt, if you don't know me. I'd love to extend an extra special welcome, guys, if it's your first time here tonight. So great to have you. We have a special guest here tonight. Looking forward to that. Can you give Jonathan Davies a round of applause as he comes up to speak? Jonathan is our senior pastor here at Seeds. He is in charge of our Sunday services, otherwise known as Excess After Party. I don't think anyone's ever called it that, but we'll go with that. But I just wanted to encourage you that if you don't come along to church on a Sunday, if you don't go to another church with your family, come along to church here at 9 o'clock, 10:45 or 6 p.m. I would love to have you here. Bring your family. We'd love to see you here. But before Jonathan speaks, I'd just love to pray. So would you just bow your heads for a second? Dear God, we just thank you for Jonathan. We thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his servant heart for you. We just pray as he speaks tonight, you just fill him with your boldness, peace and strength as he delivers this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. It's really great to be here tonight and to be part of worship and to see you. See some people I recognise, some I don't. When I was a kid, I know that I'm really old, but when I was a kid, there was a whole pile of superheroes that I used to really enjoy and follow. Of course, there was the usual Superman and Batman, and then there was this bloke called the $6 Million Man. Has anybody ever heard of the $6 Million Man? Yeah, I'm just about alone. There's one. That's just about alone here. Then, of course, and if you're a fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy, you would have heard a part of this. There was the Knight Rider. Has anybody heard of Knight Rider? I've got a little video clip to show you tonight. So let's have a look at that. It should be up on the screen. And I'll talk to it in a minute. Hopefully there's some sound. So the Knight Rider was a guy.
Even sitting duck. All right, buddy, just
there he is, David Hasselhoff.
Driven by Michael Knight, the daring independent in that black Trans Am. This wily veteran, Lud Pipecock, has the equipment to catch the Trans Am. Uh oh, smoke coming out of the
Knight
Rider. May be disqualified.
Buddy, take your finger off that button.
Now, Michael Knight, get the black flag. Nearing the end of the race, only six cars left, and now only five with that caddy green one in the intersection there. And now Knight's got trouble getting around the caddy, but he just barely made it to hang on to his lead. Two more cars fly over that Cadillac. Our field is further renewed. And now it looks like we're going to here comes the Lincoln into the pileup, and we've got literally, ladies and gentlemen, a junkyard
bogged
with disabled vehicles. Dolphs is making it.
You're up against number one.
The question is,
all right, buddy. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
That car's incredible.
All right, so that's the Knight Rider. David Hasselhoff, car called Kit, car that could talk, car that could do remote control itself, all sorts of things, all sorts of crazy stuff. And I used to, when I was a kid, I'd grow up and I thought I would grow up and have a car just like that. Have you seen one like that yet? Even Google cars can't do it yet. So the thing is that those heroes that I grew up with, Batman and Superman, $6 Million Man, although I hear there's a remake and it's the $6 Billion Man at the moment, and a car that can control itself doesn't actually exist. Heroes sort of leave us disappointed. But I want to talk to you tonight about a bloke, not so much who is a phenomenal hero, but a remarkable man who was used extraordinary by God, and his name is Joshua. I wonder if there's anybody here who does not know someone called Joshua? Is anybody here who has never heard of a Joshua, doesn't know a Joshua? Or everybody here has heard of a Joshua, is that right? Everybody has. That just goes to show how incredible this man is. It's a really cool name. If your name is Joshua, it actually means God saves. So it's a great name.
So I want to tell you a little bit about this guy, Joshua, and I want to tell you about, in a minute, I want to tell you five things that what Joshua does that makes him extraordinary because of God's work in his life. Joshua is in the early part of the Bible. He comes on the scene where the children of Israel are in slavery in Egypt, and he's part of the whole deal as they move out of slavery into the promised land. He himself has been born into slavery, so he starts his life off as a slave. He starts off below the par. And the first mention of Joshua is in the book of Exodus, so second book of the Bible, in Exodus chapter 17, where Moses, for some reason, picks him out and asks him to go and fight a battle against these guys called the Amalekites. And the deal is that when Moses holds his stick up and Moses is above the battle, holding his staff up, it's like a big long rod, and Joshua is down below with an army fighting the Amalekites. When Moses is holding the staff up, they win. When he gets tired, they lose. And so all day he's holding this staff up. You can read it for yourself. It's in Exodus chapter 17. And from that moment on, Joshua is a really big figure in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible. And when Moses finally dies, he becomes the leader. He's the go-to man. He's not just the prime minister. He's the president of the whole deal. So he becomes the leader of the whole nation. I want to get to the point of what I want to say tonight, because I don't want to take too long. Here it is. Joshua is on my radar. I like Joshua. I watch Joshua. I learn about Joshua because he's an ordinary person whom God uses to do extraordinary things. I've got on the screen behind me so you can read it and hear it. He does amazing things, incredible things, and I want to talk to you briefly about them tonight. My purpose is not just to show you how great Joshua is in the Bible, but to tell you this is possible for anybody who trusts in God. Even us. Even you. God uses us and can direct us like he used Joshua. This is not an isolated incident. There's a whole pile of stuff in the scripture that's there, in the Bible, is there for you to go, I could be like that. I could do that. I could be similar to that. I could have those characteristics. There are things that Joshua does, particularly that puts himself in a place where God can use him. So if you want to be more than just what you think you're going to be, if you want to be more than just what your friends think you're going to be, if you want to be more than just what environment around you says you're going to be, then if you do these five things like what Joshua does, then you put yourself in a place where God can speak to you and God can use you and God can transform your life and use you to do extraordinary things. So here's the bottom line of what I want to communicate to you tonight. The truth is that the same thing that God has done through Joshua, God can do through you. What's really interesting in the Old Testament is that the things we see happen physically in the Old Testament often happen spiritually in the New Testament. And that's us at this moment. So Joshua does these incredible things, leads the people, wins these battles, conquers this land. God can do that through you spiritually in this moment. So, you plus God equals amazing. Now, I'm really bad at maths, but I've put the equation up here on the screen so that you can see it, okay? I told you I was really bad at maths. Here it is. You plus God equals amazing. You can see what it looks like written down. So I want to read to you from Joshua chapter 1. If anybody's got your Bibles, if not, just listen to me. Here it is, Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read to you 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, guess his parents were, he was the son of Nun. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now here's a really key part. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Now, here's the next verses that I'm going to speak on in just a moment. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. So I want to take those last two verses and I want to speak on them now. And there are five things that come from here. There are five things that Joshua does or is instructed to do. And if you read on further, he actually does, which enables him to go from ordinary to extraordinary, which enables him to go from, I'm just an average, everyday guy, and all of a sudden God is working through me and helping a whole pile of other people. The first thing is this. It says there in the scripture, it says, obey the law. Be careful to obey the law. Now, when we hear that word law, we could think, a policeman or something that the judge works with. That's not what they're talking about here in this particular session. The law here simply means the religious law that Moses helped the people with. Some of you would have heard of the Ten Commandments. Heard of the Ten Commandments? Yeah, indeed. That's the law that's being talked about here. The whole pile of them. Think of it this way. The law is simply God's way of living. And we want to call it the right way of living or God's way of living or godly living. It's the structure that God has set up so that we might live in ways that are pleasing to God but are best for us. Let me give you an example of what it's like. Quite a few years ago, I built in one of my daughter's rooms, I built a cupboard, and she wanted a whole pile of drawers in there as well. I used to be a joiner carpenter, so it was not a problem. And I built this huge big wardrobe, sliding doors, whole pile of stuff there, and then she wanted these drawers down the side, and I had four drawers in there, and one of them, the top one, wouldn't work very well. And I couldn't figure out what it was that I'd done that made it work not so well as the others. The other three slid really nicely and were perfect. This one sort of went a bit clunky. And what I found out was that I'd actually got some secondhand drawers and I'd used them. They were really nice ones, dovetail joints and the whole deal. But the top one was actually twisted. And what they call it in the trade, they call it out of wine. In other words, it's like one side of it's down from the other side. And so when I put it on the runners to go into the cupboard, it wouldn't work properly because it's twisted. It wouldn't go in the right way. This is what happens to us. If we don't follow God's way, if we don't walk God's way, we're sort of out of kilter with the way God's designed the world and we don't work well. The second thing, it says there, do not turn to the right or to the left. Now, the sense of this saying implies that there is a correct path to walk, and for Joshua, he needed to be careful to walk into it. Now, I want to say something tonight that you will think, oh, yeah, that's okay, and then the more you think about it, the more you think, I really struggle with that. It's this. There is an ultimate truth for how you should live your life, and God is keen for you to know about it. There is an ultimate truth for how you should live your life. And our problem is that our culture that we are embedded in, that we are a part of, has affected us in a profound way, and it communicates to us on lots of different levels that there is no ultimate truth to this world. And there are no limits, it says to us, that there are rights and wrongs for personal living. And we think then, our society thinks, that we have the right to do whatever we want to do. And you often hear people say that, I can do whatever I want to. So when the topic, let me just go there where no one else wants to go. When the topic of morality comes up, you hear the phrase, it's okay, people can do whatever they want in their bedrooms, it's fine. And then, as long as no one gets hurt, then it's okay. Well, see, the thing is, that's not fully God's view on the matter. God says, there is a right way for you to live. That there is ultimate truth. And so when we say there is a right way for you to live, that implies there's a wrong way for us to live as well. There is ultimate truth in this world. There is. There's the truth of, if I was to drive on the wrong side of the road, what's going to happen to me if when I go home tonight? When I drive on the wrong side of the road, either I'm going to run into somebody or a policeman's going to catch me. That's the truth, isn't it? There is a right and a wrong way to drive on the road. If you hold your hand over a flame, what's going to happen? It's going to burn, isn't it? That's an ultimate truth, what's going to happen to you. There are universal truth laws in our world, and there are moral and ethical and behavioural laws in God's world. And we find them in the Bible. And so what God is saying to Joshua is, hang on to these, walk in these, don't deviate away from them, but stick in the centre of them. The third thing, do not let it depart from your mouth, it says there. In other words, keep it on your lips. Keep what God says on your lips. The sense here, we get the sense here, is that the focus on the book that Joshua is meant to understand is to be your constant companion, Joshua, and that he should be speaking it to others. Joshua was actually meant to be an advocate for God's ways and for God's words. One of the things that amazes me all the time is that, and I hear it, I don't hear much at XS because I don't come to XS very often, obviously, I'm too old. But on Sundays, what I hear is, you know, we've done a great worship set, it's been awesome, people have been moved in worship, love Jesus, lots of hands in the air, I've preached, people engage with it, it's been really good, we've heard the scriptures read, and people go out there in the cafe, and guess what they do? They start talking about the footy, they start talking about the economy, they start talking about the cricket, they start talking anything but about the things of God. I wonder what it is for you when you leave here. I wonder what you talk about. Is it, do you know what? I really thought about what was said tonight in Bible study. I really thought what was said tonight in small groups. I really resonated with that worship song that we had. I really struggled with what the preacher was talking about. I heard the Bible reading and it really, really impacted my heart. Is that what we talk about, or are we the same as what our Sunday congregations are doing as well? We're disengaging. We're not talking about it. We're not having God's words on our lips and encouraging others about it. Here's the truth. When we keep God's word and God's thoughts on our lips, it helps us live our life in tune with God. How can we be ordinary people used by an extraordinary God unless we hear from God, unless we continue to remind ourselves and those around us of God's word? The other day, I was working at home in my office. I've got this cool little office. I built a shed and I put an office in the back of it. The only thing was I haven't got any heating in the office, and at the moment it's pretty cool. So I was in there early the other morning and I think it was just under 12 degrees in the office, and you know, I had my coat on. But what I was doing was I was working in the office and then I was going inside. I've got a really nice wood heater inside. Everybody else got a wood heater in the house? Got some form of heating in the house? You haven't got any heating in your house? Okay. Geez, you guys must be cold. Okay, so I've got a nice wood heater in the house. And during the summertime, I went out to the farm and I cut some red gum and I've got it stacked and it's nice and dry. So I just fill up that wood heater and it's beautiful and warm. Look at you all, looking with your eyes right open. It's really warm. And I was going outside, working in my office till it was too cold, back inside, getting nice and warm again. That's what we do when we have God's words on our lips all the time. It's like warming ourselves to the good fire. We're getting the good stuff come into us and nurturing us all the time. Now, fourth thing I want to say. Fourth thing it says up there is meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on what? Meditate on God's words day and night. If Joshua wants to be used by God, if you want to be used by God to be more than what you think you could be and more than what society says around you, then meditate on God's word. Literally, the actual literal translation of this is Joshua was to mumble it. Was to mumble God's words to himself over and over again. And we see Joshua preparing himself. And so when Moses is leading the people of Israel, Joshua stays behind in the spot where God has spoken to Moses, and Joshua stays there and hears again God's words. And so he's meant to be reminding himself of that, mumbling it to himself over and over again. I don't know how I would be if I didn't have a regular habit of every day meeting with God. I don't know how I would be. I don't know how I could cope. I don't know how I could be a pastor and not meet with God every day. In fact, I make it my habit to meet with God twice every day, morning and night, the first thing and the last thing that I do. And God then uses that time to make the ordinary extraordinary. The Bible actually says here, for Joshua to meditate on it day and night, to mumble it to himself day and night. I don't know, when I was a kid, my mum was really strong on us memorizing scripture. So memorizing the Bible. I don't know if anybody else has got a mum like that. It forces Bible verses into you. Unfortunately, she used a really old translation, so I've got all these old translations kicking around in my head. But boy, it's helpful. I tell you what, at peak times, when things are going south and things aren't good, those verses come back to me. And I would encourage you, I would actually challenge you to memorize some of the Bible yourself. Back when I was a real little kid, I remember my grandma and granddad had their 50th wedding anniversary. And I remember sitting there and my grandma, who's this little petite Welsh lady, stood up and she recited off by heart Psalm 103. I challenge you to memorize Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Memorize it. And it'll come back to you again and again and again. In fact, I think mumbling the Bible to ourselves, memorizing it and holding it in our heads over and over again is probably, we should probably do it more often than what we do clean our teeth. Maybe we should do it as often as we check Instagram. I don't know. That'd be a lot, wouldn't it? Over and over again. Fifth thing, and I'll finish. The last thing that comes from what Joshua did, from what he did to enable himself to go from ordinary to extraordinary, that God could use him and help transform a whole nation. Read his story. It's really cool. It's a whole book in the Bible named after him, all the stuff that he did. He meditated. Not only meditated, not only obeyed, but he acted on it. I heard a joke the other day. The joke is this. It's a good one. I'm known for telling really bad jokes. This is a good one. There were 5 mice sitting on a wall thinking about jumping. How many mice were left? 5. Because thinking is not acting. That's another bad joke, I know. I tell you, it's no good being prepared. It's no good having the opportunity. It's no good assuming major leadership roles at here, at XS, or at school, or when you get to work. It's no good meditating and learning scriptures. It's no good thinking that you're ready to go and not acting. Joshua acted. He heard what God said to him, and he acted on it. If you don't act, you waste your time, and I'll tell you, you'll waste your life. The time, my friends, for half measure is over. Joshua was in the game. He said, God, use me. And God used him. Joshua was in. How about you? Are you in a place where God can use you? Can you put those 5 things in place in your life? All you do is dial up Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, and you can remind yourself of those 5 different things that Joshua was doing. God has placed you here on this earth at this time, at this exact moment, for a reason. God has brought you here tonight for a reason. This world is in desperate need of people like Joshua, people who are godly, people who say, God, use me and make me extraordinary. People like you, exactly like you. The world is screaming out for people who can do more than just take, who can consider themselves less than others, who can serve others, who serve, who use their strength for the weak, who are deeply grounded in holy things, who have drunk deeply from the scriptures and learnt it, who will not be swayed by popular opinion, people who will stand even though there's forces against them saying you shouldn't do that, and say, no, this is the right thing to do. A person like that, let me tell you the truth, a person like that, a young person, a person like you, who stands like that, who does those five things that Joshua did, will change the world around them. And that can be you. Let me say a prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to know you. We thank you that you have brought people like Joshua into this world, extraordinary people. May we be similar too. May we learn these five things and do them in our lives. May we set ourselves apart to be used by you, extraordinarily used by you. And may we change the world around us, not for our own selfish desires, but for goodness, for godliness, that the world might grow in peace and harmony, and that your name might reign supreme. In your name I ask. Amen.